Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Indiana. As we all awake from the many unprecedented events that have taken place these last 3 months, let us realize that the Antichrist system, as the Apostle John warns us about, is progressing in the midst of all this unrest, violence, and pandemic. The Apostle John says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. These are the God-haters. They have no regard for God, nor for mankind who are created in the image of God. They advance their globalist one-world governance agenda through hate, violence, unrest, population control, and deceit. Their desire is to rid the earth of more than half the population because they fear that their mother earth is too fragile to sustain the overwhelming 7 billion people. This morning's message is a series of messages entitled The Mark. However, this is not about John Mark, the faithful confidant of both Barnabas and the Apostle Paul. Nor is it about the gospel according to Mark. Nor is it about the target or goal that the Apostle Paul admonishes Christians to pursue in Philippians 3:14, which states, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. No, this morning's message will emphasize the mark of the beast that every soul will have to have place under his or her skin or be executed for not doing so, as proclaimed in the book of Revelation. This reality is closer than you think. This mark will be the radio frequency identification chip, RFID microchip, that is readily available with today's modern nanotechnology. The timing of this message when I first preached it was uncanny, since providentially I preached it just before the COVID-19 lockdown began to be implemented and before the hysteria for mandatory vaccination, which may include a nanochip to trace and monitor every recipient. Also uncanny was the fact that Indiana House Bill 1143 was unanimously approved by the Indiana House of Representatives that bars employers from requiring the implantation of any form of ID or tracking device in their employees unless the employee gives voluntary consent. But what is most important before forced microchip identification can be implemented, a society has to have in place a cashless economy which is rooted in the pit of hell, and that every God-fearing Christian should oppose and resist with every ounce of their being. As a result of this individual and economic lockdown curfew, which is a deceptive form of martial law, we are now seeing businesses forbidding the use of cash. Money and the physical circulation of money is the lifeblood of a vibrant civilization, and our United States Constitution demands it. The Apostle Paul, who was full of the Holy Spirit, encourages the children of God for the last 2,000 years with these prophetic words, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all, to stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Enjoy this morning's message as we rightly divide the word of truth. This is part one.
It's an important message, the mark. Now, the mark, we're not talking about the book of Mark, John Mark in the Bible, but we're talking about the mark. And it's used for several different applications here. And so we're going to look at the first point, the mark, the prize. Philippians, we've read this multiple times in 3:14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The mark. Is a prize. It's a reaching a goal in one's life. It's reaching an achievement. We've all had different achievements, you know, when we were younger, and still to this day you have achievements. And I was reading about a man who developed his own triathlon that is like super, super duper hard. And maybe one of you, you know, we got some athletes in this room here. Maybe one of you, my mother-in-law, maybe you want to do this one. In a six-month period, climb Mount Everest, swim the English Channel, and ride a bicycle across America. That's a triathlon. Your next achievement. Can you believe that? I mean, these guys come up with these crazy ideas of things that just put their bodies through unbelievable trial and difficulty. But Paul says that we have to put ourselves through trials and difficulties, and we will go through trials and difficulties. And he says, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The next bullet point, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. That's talking about our walk in our Christian life. One way of looking at your Christian life. When you got saved, you entered the marathon. But now it's time to run. It's to run the race, press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Paul says in Hebrews, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so we are in a contest, in a sense, against the world in our Christian walk. Third bullet point, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Notice everything hinges on the word serve and reward. The inheritance is a reward. Christ being the firstborn. That's one of my messages, future messages that I plan to put together. The firstborn sons. We're all called to be, we're all sons and daughters of God when you get saved. But God is looking for the firstborn. The first one across the finish line. It's they're closely related. And we'll learn about the firstborn in a future message. I'm really trying to develop that. So it really, because we talked about back in the summer, first fruits. And we talked about it in at December, but we also talked about the first fruits in the rapture, talking about first fruits in the rapture. That was back in the summer. And so we're going to talk about the firstborn. And their Bible is full of information regarding the importance of being the firstborn. We see here in Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Not his salvation, but his work after he's saved, after he serves the Lord Christ. Notice the Lord brings his work with his rewards with him when he descends into the cloud and to give every man. And when we use the word man, we use it as mankind, man and women, to give every man according as his work shall be. You know, we live in a sick culture and sick society. We talked about last week them taking the word hell out of the Bible, but you know, they want these gender neutral Bibles too, you know, and take all this he out of there and you know, just put them or it, and so they despise. There's a group that despise the male connotation used throughout the scriptures. Then Jonathan said to David, you remember who Jonathan was? He was the son of King Saul, the first king of Israel. Jonathan said to David, and they were best friends. They were good friends. And Jonathan recognized the hand of God on David. Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be emptied. Just a side note on that particular passage. I've heard funeral services preached on that one phrase there, right there. Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. Your loved one who's in the grave or in the coffin, their seat will be empty in their home. And I've heard beautiful funeral sermons on that message. And I will shoot three arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. So a mark is like a target, a bullseye. You know, in archery, you have your big target out there with the different circles in it. and you shoot it with an arrow, and it was to signal David. But there's the word mark is used as a target. And so mark is used quite often in the scriptures. And so I tried to put them into different categories here for you so you understand. Roman numeral 2 in your notes. The mark, a distinguishing identifier. A distinguishing identifier. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Who was Cain? What did he do? Killed his brother, Abel. But notice, the death penalty was not implemented in this part of the scriptures. And God set a mark on Cain so nobody would kill him, because they would be in sevenfold greater vengeance from the Lord should they kill Cain. Because he didn't want a vigilante where just people decide they're going to take the law in their own hands and slay who they choose to slay or feel that needs to be slayed. And so you had Cain killed Abel, but God put a mark on Cain, and it had to be a distinguishing mark of something that everybody was able to identify that was Cain. And even though he killed his brother, stay away from him and don't kill him yourselves, because it will be even greater vengeance on you. And so that is one use of the word mark in the scriptures. In the next bullet point, Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have heard, and avoid them. You and I, we're to mark people. Now, that doesn't mean you go around with a stamp and you put a stamp on their forehead or put a stamp on their hand or, like the famous book called the Scarlet Letter. But you mark those that cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. And you're going to find that even within the Christian community. There are those who are tell tales, gossip. There's women that you avoid telling anything to, because you know it will get around very quickly. There are other individuals, men, women, that may be doing the wrong thing. And you need to avoid them so you don't mimic them. And so the Bible says, mark them. Paul writes that in the book of Romans. In Philippians, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, now this is pretty much Paul is repeating what he wrote to the church of Rome and putting it a little bit differently. But mark them which walk as Paul, and mark those who walk as the enemies of the cross. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, that's understood outside the church, but that can be in the church. That can be with those who believe. They mind earthly things. They don't mind heavenly things, spiritual things. And so they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. And so you're to mark and identify and keep a mental note of who is walking with Christ and who is not walking with Christ. And follow those who make Christ and Paul their example in life. And so you mark them. John the Baptist is speaking here in John 3:33. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. If you believe John's testimony, John is saying, if you believe my testimony and you believe the testimony of Christ, you have set a seal upon you that God is true. And you have been sealed by God. The Holy Spirit is a surety of your salvation, the indwelling Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so God knows, he knows your name. He knows my name. He knows those who are saved. There's a seal upon you. In God's eyes, he won't misplace you. He knows where you're at all the time. And you have been sealed. Just like an envelope has been sealed, or just like the days of kings when they put a seal on an envelope or an important letter, and that seal can only be opened by another dignitary. And so you have been sealed by God from the foundations of the world. Revelation chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. This is very interesting. Now, this is during the great tribulation. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Now, they come up out of the bottomless pit during the tribulation period. We've talked about this. I don't know, possibly we talked about it in our Bible study. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, these are going to be locusts like you've never seen before. I don't have the whole passage here, but they're ugly looking. But it tells us here, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Well, what do locusts do? Eat the grass of the earth and the leaves on the trees. Neither any green thing. Neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And so there's a seal. Those who believe during the tribulation time have a seal. Not one that you can see and I can see, but those locusts can see it. They know. They know. The seal is obvious to the locusts. Somehow, they know that a person is of God or not of God. And so God puts a seal on their foreheads. And those of you who know this passage, these locusts sting those during the tribulation period, and they wish they could die from the pain. It occurs for 5 months. And men wish to die, and they can't. God will torment them. And they still blaspheme God and don't repent after this event takes place. A must read. You got to go back and read it. It's like I remember reading to my students years ago about the star wormwood. That there's going to be a star that's going to hit the earth and poison the waters. And it's going to be noticeable. It's going to be significant. And we constantly hear on the radio, this comet or this asteroid is, you know, so many thousands of miles from the earth, and that's really close. Well, in the book of Revelation, it's going to hit the earth. It's going to hit the earth. And I always enjoyed, no way, that's not in the Bible. And I always enjoy opening up the scriptures and reading that to them. Roman numeral 3 in your notes, the mark of the beast. Let's read this. And he had power to give life unto the image and of the beast, that the image, and he here is the false prophet. He here is the false prophet. The beast is the Antichrist. In Revelation 13, which we're reading, it talks about two different beasts. But then as you learn further in the scriptures, one is called the false prophet, one is the Antichrist. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, as technology is rapidly advancing in our day and age, remember the cloning that went on in the 90s. They thought, oh, well, that will be the image. It'll be a cloned human being. Some today believe that man will fabricate a human being. Will from DNA research, will fabricate a human being without a soul. That's part of it. A human being, this image, will have no conscience. You know, they thought, well, maybe it could be a 3D image, three-dimensional image with that technology. So you have all these different ideas that are lingering out there, but there's going to be the image of the beast, that the beast, the image of the beast, should both speak and cause as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.